Just waiting on Jesus to call the bride home. Could be any time. Well, we're delighted tonight to have Brother Zach Gillett with us tonight, our missionary to the UK. And so, Brother Gillett, you come on, and we're excited to have them tonight. And the Lord's doing great things in the UK. They usually go a couple hours with preaching. He said he's going to knock that down to an hour and a half for us tonight. So we're thankful for that. Now we're excited to have them tonight, and looking forward to what God has. It's been, I think we said it was like 2014 or 17 since they've been back. So we're delighted to hear back from Brother Gillett.
Thank you very much. Well, good evening, and it is a good thing to be with you all here this evening. And we are very thankful. This church has very faithfully supported our family now going on for about 9 years, I believe, and prayed for us on a regular basis. And we're very glad to be able to come this evening and to give a little bit of a report on the work in England and just to let you know that God is answering your prayers. And I hope that'll encourage you to pray more often and more regularly and more fervently for the work there in the UK. We have a short video we'd like to show, if that's okay, just a little something we've put together that has with a bit of an update and help you be able to pray a bit more intelligently about the work there, and then I'll make a few comments after that.
We are the Gillett family. We've been serving in the United Kingdom with the Crown Christian Heritage Trust since 2011. And we praise God for all he is doing here in the UK over the past several years. We wanted to take a little bit of time in this short video and share some of these wonderful praises with you. Recently, we've seen some great blessings in our local church, East Birmingham Baptist Chapel, which was planted 7 years ago in the UK's second largest city. We've seen souls saved recently through the preaching of the gospel in our services, through our children's clubs, through our homeless outreach and street preaching in the city center. We are happy to report that over the past few years, we have grown out of our original church building and have recently started meeting in a larger building, which is a short walk away. We hope you'll pray with us that we would eventually be able to purchase this building for a permanent home for our church. We've also seen some great blessings in our nationwide church planting ministry. Over the past 18 months, 3 new churches have been planted here in the UK. Edward Street Baptist Church in Carlisle, right up in the north of England near the border of Scotland. Lower Kingswood Baptist Church in the county of Surrey, just on the outskirts of London. And Jarvis Brook Baptist Church in Crowborough, also in the south of England. We are also in the process of receiving 2 more disused church buildings to plant new churches in. Of our 9 church plants, 5 of them have had to secure larger facilities recently due to growth. Please pray for them. Please pray especially for Oxford Baptist Chapel and New Street Baptist Church, as they are looking to purchase buildings for their churches.
In addition to gospel outreach in our local church, we have been able to hold gospel missions and outreaches at numerous nationwide events over the past 12 months, including the Appleby Horse Fair, the King's Coronation in London, the Epsom Horse Races, and the Royal Welsh Farm Show, which is located in a Welsh town where we hope to plant our 10th church in the coming months. We've also seen record attendance this summer at our evangelistic youth camp, Camp Victory. Just a few weeks ago, 400 young people attended the camp. Numerous souls were saved and many young people dedicated their lives to follow Jesus Christ. Currently at Crown Hall, our Bible college, we have our largest ever group of students enrolled. Please pray for them as they are training to be the pastors, teachers, and church planters the United Kingdom desperately needs.
We are also able to host 2 nationwide conferences every year to encourage and train believers. The Winter Retreat, held every February in Wales, and the Heritage Bible Conference, held at our land on Crown Hall every August. And God has used the preaching of His Word at these two events to stir many believers to wholeheartedly follow Christ and become fully involved in His work. Pray for us as we seek to pursue international opportunities. In the Netherlands, we've been able to go over the past 12 months and hold monthly gospel meetings, at which many souls have been saved and baptized. We've also held a week-long gospel mission in different cities throughout the Netherlands every evening, and also hosting evangelism in many of the local state schools. Please pray with us that God would raise up laborers to move over to the Netherlands so that we might be able to start a full-time work in that nation. God has also recently opened a door for us in the nation of Zimbabwe in southern Africa. A retired safari guide who was converted during the COVID pandemic has donated his house and land in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe to the Crown Christian Heritage Trust to start a new gospel mission. Last June, Ashley and I traveled over to Zimbabwe with a group of other laborers to see this new work establishment. There's a great need for plain gospel preaching and Bible training of Christian workers in the nation of Zimbabwe. Please pray for the establishment of this new mission. Pray for the Reachon family, a Christian family from our church in Oxford, who have moved over to pioneer this new work. And please pray for those who are going to be regularly traveling over to help assist in this new work, to train up pastors and leaders and Christian workers in that nation. We would like to thank you for your continued prayer and support for our family and for our ministry. Please pray that God would continue to preserve our family and to prosper this ministry until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, just wanted to show that this evening, just to give you a bit of an update on how everything is going there in England and some different ways in which you can pray. And I hope you will pray regularly for the work there. I'd encourage you to do this. I'd encourage you to take some portion of time every week and remember us in a word of prayer. I know there are many other missionaries that this church supports, but please pray for the work in the United Kingdom. My wife and I, we work with a team of workers. There's about 25 of us there and involved in the church planting work and the work of children's youth camps and the work of getting the gospel out in as many different ways as we can. And so we hope that you'll pray fervently. And we believe over the past few years, we've seen so many open doors and so many new opportunities, such growth in our ministries, a great increase in the number of souls being saved. And we know that that is down solely to God's people praying and God answering those prayers. And so please continue to pray in a wonderful way. Pray for our church. You saw there on the video there, we've recently had to move into a new church building, and we're very grateful for that. Our church was planted 7 years ago, East Birmingham Baptist Chapel. We're in a majority Muslim area there in the eastern part of the city of Birmingham. And God gave us a building many years ago. It was an empty church building. It sat empty for about 12 years, being used as a storage room. Very small building, about the size, maybe if you took one of these little side sections here in your auditorium, that's about how big it was. And just recently, really since COVID, we've started growing out of the building, and we've really been praying about a new place to build, to be able to use for a church building. And we're very grateful. About 18 months ago, a building that was owned by a Christian charity but was no longer being used as a church opened up to us, and we've been able to rent that building, and we've been there for about a year and a half. And please pray for us that we might be able to purchase or to be given that building at one point or another. We'd like to have that building for our own. And we believe perhaps God will open that door for us in the right timing. And I hope you'll pray for us. Pray for the church in Birmingham, the church I pastor, and my wife there laboring alongside with me. But we'd appreciate your prayers in that. Pray for the church planting ministry there in England. We mentioned since 2020, we've seen three new churches planted. Really, over the last 18 months, all three of those churches have been planted. And it's a great encouragement to see new work started. And all of those churches, by the way, were started in disused church buildings. There are empty church buildings and chapels, buildings all over the United Kingdom, and they're available if you have workers and you have laborers. It's been the most tremendous thing. All those buildings have been given to us free of charge, and we've been able to send workers. In all the cases, we send a young couple who have come to join our team, and we send them to go live in that city and to go take that church building and to start a new work in that place. And it's been so encouraging to see how not only the works have been planted, but to see how they've grown. And I don't know if you saw there on the video of our 9 church plants, many of them have already started trying to find larger facilities, not just our church in Birmingham, but others as well. Maybe you saw there in one of them, our church in Liverpool was able to recently purchase a closed pub for a church. A pub is like a bar or a nightclub. And during the COVID lockdown, they noticed the pub that was right next to their church building had closed. And they put up a for sale sign. And the men in the church began to pray and pray that God will provide in a wonderful way. And they put in a bid that was a very low bid. And they didn't think it'd be accepted, but it was accepted. And God gave them that building, and they were able to go in and to tear out the bar and to tear out all the kegs and all the beer lines and all those sorts of things. And now if you were to go there, instead of finding men drinking after work, you would go in there and you would find Sunday school children being taught the truth of God's word. And what a great encouragement. Another one of our churches, the church in Oxford, I hope you'll remember to pray for them. They're in the educational capital of the world, Oxford University, world famous for its education. And they grew out of their building during COVID as well. And they started meeting in a tent. And for the last 3 years, they've been meeting in a tent. I don't know if you're familiar with the climate in England, but it's very cold and very wet. And they've been meeting in a tent in a field for the last 3 years, in a very large, like a circus-style tent, and they're praying that God will provide for them a property. You pray for them as well. And Oxford is not only the educational center of England, it's the UK's most expensive city. And so you can imagine trying to purchase land in a place like that, and to purchase a building in a place like that, but we know it's not too hard for the Lord. And so please pray for them. Another one of our churches that's been recently having to find new property is our first church in Wales. 3 years ago in 2020, in fact, I think right around the next 2 or 3 weeks, they'll be celebrating their 3rd anniversary. We received a church building in a little town called Welshpool, right on the border of England and Wales. And we sent one of our graduates from our Bible college, a young British man, to go take and to pioneer that work. And it's been amazing to see in just 3 years' time, and half of that during a pandemic, how God has taken that empty church building and he's grown and established a church there. And now they're in talks trying to purchase the building next to them. And God willing, very soon, we'll see our 10th church planted actually out of that church in Wales. There are several families that go to that church, and they live about an hour away, and they drive an hour to church, and they've been praying for a long time that God would open up a gospel-preaching church in their hometown an hour away. And lo and behold, a very large, massive church building, really about the size of this building that we're in today, that it was closed right in the town center, a beautiful old historic building, I think about 160 years old. It sat empty and was up for sale. And we contacted the organization, a large Christian organization that owned the building. And we asked them, we said, we don't have any money to buy it, but would you be willing to give it to us if we'll run it as a church? We won't turn it into apartments or flats or anything like that, but could we have it for a church? And they took their time getting back to us, but 6 months later, they got back to us and they said, if you'll run it as a church, you can have it. And so we're in the process of legally getting that transferred over, and God willing, a new church plant will be started there in the days to come. And there's another one as well. We're working on number 10 and 11 right now, but to be honest, we could have many more churches. Since the beginning of 2023, I've personally been, I'm one of the trustees of our charity. I've been and visited 10 different church buildings, all of them empty or nearly empty. And all of them, the people there were willing to give them to us for nothing if we had workers to send. You know, we've had to tell them, any of them. We had to tell them, I'm sorry, we can't help you right now. We don't have the workers and the laborers to send to them. And in addition to those 10, there are many others that have called us, and we haven't even been able to go see them. There is a great need for laborers. God is at work, but we're in desperate need for laborers. And we know how to get laborers. The scriptures tell us we pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will provide and send forth laborers into his harvest. You pray for laborers. We have a small Bible college there, and we have 23 students enrolled right now at the moment, and we're training laborers up as fast as we possibly can. But we're praying that God will provide more laborers. And then I don't know if you saw some of those international opportunities. We're also going over every month to the Netherlands. We drive down to the coast of England, take a ferry across, and drive up into the Netherlands. We preach on a Friday night and a Saturday morning, and then we drive back and take a ferry back and are trying to be back in our churches in time for our Sunday morning meetings. And we're praying again that God would raise up a couple. We know of several, some Dutch people that we've been involved in helping train, and we're praying that God would raise one of them up and give them a burden to start a new work there in that part of the world as well. And then the most recent open door God has given us, and I hope you'll pray especially for this one, is an open door in Zimbabwe. And it really is amazing how God has worked. There was a man who was a safari guide in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe. And him and his wife, they were both atheists and wanting nothing to do with religion or Christianity or anything like that. And when the COVID pandemic struck, all of their business suddenly dried up. And in addition to that, due to government orders in that part of the world, they were both restricted to their house. People that were used to living outdoors with the wildlife all day and all night being outdoors, and they're stuck in their homes. They couldn't leave their homes but once a week to buy groceries. And they began to become very, very depressed. And so they had many friends, some Christian friends living in England. And their Christian friends living in England began to send them little devotionals that people had recorded. Someone would sing a song on a piano, and then they would give a little short 10-minute devotional. And they tried to cheer them up. They would send them by email these devotionals every day. And this man and his wife there in Zimbabwe, they would sit by the window where they got a little bit of cell phone service, and they would take 3 hours sometimes to download a 10-minute video. And they once the video downloaded, they would watch it over and over and over again. And both of them were saved as a result of that. They've since retired from being safari guides, and they moved to England, and they said, we want our property. They had the most beautiful home that you could ever imagine in a beautiful garden in one of the most beautiful parts of the world, a 20-minute walk away from Victoria Falls. And they said, we want it to be used for a Christian mission. And they offered it to our charity, and they said, would you be willing to take this and run it as a Christian mission? And so my wife and I got to go over in June and to help one of our families from one of our churches, a deacon and his family from our church in Oxford, move over to that part of the world and to start a brand new work. And since then, God has blessed us and blessed that work. He's given us not only that house, he's given us property in some other surrounding villages. On one of those pieces of property, we're currently building a building. And we're putting a building that's going to be used for housing and training pastors. And so they can come and take 3 or 4 times a year and come and take modular style Bible college courses. And we just had our very first one of those. We rented out a hotel building for the purpose, and we had 50 pastors this past September, a few weeks ago, come and attend the very first of our pastors training conferences. And we're hoping to train many others as well. And God willing, planting a church in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe, in the town of Victoria Falls. And they've already filed the paperwork for it. They've already been preaching in a hired building and hoping to see a New Testament church established there in that town as well. And it's a very great place to be involved in church planting. There, just at the very edge of Victoria Falls, there's a statue of David Livingston, and he was the first European person to come to that part of the world, and he came to preach the gospel, and he came to establish works, and he came to lead people to Christ. And I can't think of a better place to be working and laboring than where people like that went before you. And it's a real encouragement, and I hope you'll pray for that work there in Zimbabwe, and we're praying that God would do wonderful things. It wasn't a place we ever thought we'd be working. You never thought we would go to England and be involved in a work in Zimbabwe. But that's how God works, isn't it? And his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we're very grateful that that's the case, aren't we? And so please pray fervently for the work in England, and remember us in your prayers. Pray for laborers and pray. We don't know how much time we have until the Lord returns. We don't know the day or the hour, but we want to pray that God would open so many doors and that God would provide so many laborers and that we could see so much done until his coming. And please remember us in that way. Let's take our Bibles this evening and let's open God's Word together. And we're going to turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 10 this evening. First Kings chapter 10. I hope this message that we bring that is brought this evening will be an encouragement to you from God's Word. It is a great joy and a great privilege to know and to serve Jesus Christ. I hope you earnestly believe that to be true. We would all say that if we were asked, but I hope you earnestly believe that to be true, that it's a great joy to know and to serve Jesus Christ. We are a privileged people. When we think about privilege, we often think of in terms of the physical, don't we? And you might say, I'm privileged because I was born as an American. Did you know if you were born as an American, the day you were born, you won the lottery compared to about everyone else in the world and so many other places. And it's a great privilege to grow up in a country like this or a country like England, such free countries with such a wonderful history and a wonderful heritage. And you would say, I count that a great privilege. That's perhaps a physical thing. Maybe you would think of your privilege in terms of your upbringing. Perhaps you grew up in a home that had every need provided for you. And your mother and your father were able to give you many things, and they had the money to purchase nice things for you and to give you things that you needed and to kind of give you a leg up in life. And you'd say, I come from a privileged upbringing. But there's a greater privilege than that. It's the privilege that comes from being a child of God and from being a child of the King, and the great privilege that comes from being a servant of Jesus Christ. Always let us as God's people keep that in remembrance. Always think of the privilege that we have, no matter what happens in our life. And perhaps if you're someone whose eyes and ears work, and I think all of us might say that's true this evening, you look ahead at everything that's going around us in our world, and you think there are perhaps some difficult times ahead of us. Well, remember this, no matter what happens, no matter what a day brings forth, you're a child of the King. You're a privileged person. And I want to speak this evening on that topic, the unmatched privileges of the child of God. And here in the portion of Scripture we're going to read together in a few moments, a very familiar portion of Scripture, this is the arrival of the Queen of Sheba as she came to visit King Solomon. Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent, by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before me and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. And we'll leave off reading there, and we trust that God will bless the reading of his word. Let's have a brief moment of prayer, and let's commit this time to the Lord and ask God to speak to us as we open his word. Our Father in heaven, we come and we bow before thee this evening. We give thanks unto thee for the living and precious word of God. And we pray that as we hold the word in our hands, and that as thy word enters into our ears, that it truly might enter into our hearts, and that we might be changed and molded and fashioned more into thine image through the power of thy word and through the work of the Holy Ghost. So speak to us through thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a wonderful privilege, and we look here at this portion of Scripture, the Queen of Sheba coming. And many people consider this portion of Scripture the mountain peak of the Old Testament, the very highest point. Think about it. You had the greatest of all the kings, King Solomon. Not only the greatest of all kings, he was at the very highest point of his reign, the very height of his wealth, the very height of his power, the very height of his wisdom, right here at this point. And it was also the highest point of the nation of Israel. If you could hit pause at this moment of history and look at this nation as is recorded for us in God's word, do you know what you would find? You would find a people living exactly how God intended for his people to live. For that brief moment of time, we know that if we hit the play button again and we keep reading, that the nation very sadly goes downhill from this point. But here they were at their very height. In fact, all of the promises and all of the blessings that are promised to God's people, you go back to the book of Deuteronomy and you read all the blessings that are promised to his people if they would follow him and serve him and be true to him. You find all of those promises and all of those blessings being manifested and realized right at this very point of Scripture. It was the very height of the nation, the mountain peak. And I think as we look into this passage of God's word this evening, you know what we find? We find a picture of how the Christian life ought to be lived and how the believer ought to live his life. Solomon, in this portion of Scripture, is such a strong picture of Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. That's one of the titles that is given to the Lord Jesus. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. And here Solomon is a picture of our glorious Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is wise above all, all-knowing and omnipotent and omniscient. In such a picture in this passage. And as we look into this passage, we see here, and I want to point out a few things this evening that speak to us of the unmatched privileges of the child of God. And as we are Christians, we have such wonderful and precious and amazing and unrivaled privileges that no one else on planet Earth can boast of. What are some of those privileges that we've been given? Well, we've been given the privilege. We have an unmatched access to the Almighty. Look at verse number 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. Look at the very precious access, the very close and wonderful access that the Queen of Sheba here had as she came and she approached King Solomon. It says, I love this, it says, she came to prove him with hard questions. I'm so grateful that we have a faith that can be proved. Did you know that the Christian faith stands up to all scrutiny? It does. All the questions and all the hard questions and all the difficult things that people who are atheists and agnostics and other things try to bring against the Christian faith, it stands up to scrutiny. We have a faith that can be proved, that can be shown and demonstrated over and over and over again that it's true and wonderful and life-changing. Christianity is a come and see religion. It says she came to see him and to prove him with hard questions. And our faith is a come and see religion. And that's really the job of every child of God, to go to those who do not know Christ and to say, come and see. Come and see that Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. Come and see that he is sweet and wonderful and a good Savior and a Savior of sinners. It's a come and see religion. There's nothing hidden about our faith. There's no hidden parts. There's no ugly past or ugly history. It's all open and laid bare. There are religions out there that hide their beliefs from people. And you get into them. Many of the cults operate this way. Mormonism and other such groups, and you get into them and they bring you into them and you think these are just normal, everyday sort of Christian people. And it's not until you've been a part of their organizations for years and years and years that you discover the very odd and disturbing things that they actually believe. They don't reveal those straight away. But we, with Christians, we will proudly open the Word of God and let anyone come and see it. I think nearly every church does this. They put their statement of faith right up and their beliefs right up on the internet where anybody can come and scrutinize. She came to prove him. And when she came to prove him, the scriptures tell us that she communed with Solomon with all that is in her heart. And this is the great privilege of the believer, that you and I may at any moment come and pour out our heart to the Lord, that we may commune with him of all that is in our heart, that we may speak to him with all things. There are things, if you and I got into a conversation after this meeting tonight, there are things probably about yourself that you might choose to hide from me. And there's information about myself I might choose not to disclose to you. But we may pour out our heart before the Lord, completely and wholly and openly and honestly. This is the greatest of all privileges, that we may commune with our God. And isn't it sad that it is a privilege that is so seldom used? We pour out our hearts to others instead. We pour out our complaints and our griefs and our worries and our woes to other people. And we do not commune with the Lord. And we do not commune with him in prayer. And as she communed with Solomon, the Bible says that Solomon communed with her. As she told him all that was in her heart, the Bible tells us that Solomon told her all her questions and that there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. This is very precious. As she communed with Solomon, Solomon communed with her. And I've always wondered what great secrets Solomon the wise king whispered into the ear of the Queen of Sheba. Would you have liked to have been in that room as she asked all the great mysteries in life that she asked him, and all the answers, the wonderful answers, are not recorded for us in the Word of God, but all the wonderful answers that he would have given her? I would have liked to have heard those. Can you imagine the servants of the king as she was speaking to him? Maybe they were outside the door with their ears cupped to their door, trying to catch hold of the great secrets he was given. But this is the type of relationship that God desires to have with his people, that we commune with God and God communes with us. And as we pray and pour out our heart to the Lord and seek his wisdom and seek his grace, that he speaks to us, that he reveals his will and his guidance and his leading unto his people. And this is the relationship God desires to have with his people, one of unmatched access. Do not neglect such a great privilege as that we have in prayer. Go listen to the prayers of people who are in other religions. You go and listen to their silly and their foolish, vain repetitions as they chant the same thing over and over and over again. As the scripture says, they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. We don't speak to our God that way. We speak to him as a dear friend. We speak to him as a heavenly father. And we speak to him of all our deepest cares and all our deepest worries. Do not neglect such a great access. We have unmatched access before the Lord. Something else, another privilege that we have an unmatched experience. Look at verse number 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the mead of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent, by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit left in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." What a wonderful experience is given here, is recorded for us in the Word of God, when she heard and she saw everything that was about her. All the wisdom and all the glory, everything that she saw, the Bible says there was no more spirit left in her. She was completely and totally overwhelmed by all that she had seen and by all that she had heard. And she came to this conclusion. She said, "The half was not told me." Now, she had heard some pretty unbelievable things. Way far away in the land of Sheba where she dwelt, she had heard about King Solomon, and the things that she had heard were frankly unbelievable. And they were so unbelievable that she journeyed all that distance because she could not believe that one king could be so wise and that one kingdom should be so glorious and that there was a group of people living on planet Earth who were so happy and so prosperous and so wonderful. It defied everything she knew about the world. It was unbelievable. It sounded like someone was playing a joke on her. She couldn't believe it. And by the way, she was no stranger to wealth herself. You look at all the wealth and wonderful things that she brought to the king. And all the things that she had heard were frankly unbelievable. They were too good to be true. And you know the saying, if something is too good to be true, it usually is. And she was no foolish woman. But then she got there, and all of the unbelievable things that could not have been true and that were too good to be true, here's what she found. She found that everything in reality was twice as good as they had told her. The half wasn't told to her. And this speaks so much of our spiritual experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, that all who come to Jesus Christ by faith, you know what they find? They find that Jesus Christ is far better than could have been described. And so the hymn goes on to say, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. And before you were converted, before you became a Christian, you had heard some things about Jesus Christ. And perhaps to your mind, they seemed a bit too good to be true. And you heard some things about what it was to be a Christian and what it was to have your sins forgiven. And it all sounded very, very good. But you know what you find after you've been a Christian? That the Lord Jesus is far better than you could have ever imagined. And the closer you get to Him, the better he becomes. Now, that's not how human beings are. The closer you get to someone, the more you see of their flaws and the more you see of your shortcomings. People get married and they find that out, don't they? They think of this person who is absolutely perfect and good, perfect in every way. You find that, they have some shortcomings, and they have maybe a short temper, or they have this problem or that problem, or they're a bit messier than I thought they would be. The closer you get to someone, they see your faults. And the beautiful thing about a marriage is that you love one another and stick together and stick through everything, don't you? But the closer you get, you find the more scrutiny, the more you can scrutinize and find fault with. Not so with Jesus Christ. The closer you get to him, the more wonderful he becomes. The more you taste, the sweeter he gets. There's no law of diminishing return. You have a favorite food, perhaps, and you eat it over and over again. You eventually get tired of it, don't you? You eventually get bored of it and you want something else. Not so with Jesus Christ. We have an unmatched experience, and this is why you cannot unconvince the believer. That's why. You ever wondered why that's the case? People who are Christians, why you can't come and unconvince them to be Christians? Well, I know it's true. Every week we go into City Center and we preach the gospel, and here's what happens every week without fail in the city of Birmingham. People come up to us and they try to unconvince us from being Christians. And some Muslim with some really good arguments will come up, or some atheist or agnostic or whoever they may be will come up and try to convince you that everything you believe is a lie, that Jesus couldn't really be the Son of God and he couldn't really be risen from the dead, and all the things that you know to be true in your heart can't be true. But we have lots of young people, in fact, some very vulnerable young people that come out with us, but I'm not worried about them being unconvinced. Why? Because they know that Christ is better than could ever be described. They have found Christ better than described. And this is why the unbeliever is so often confused when they come across a committed Christian. And they see the committed Christian and they feel sorry for that person. Oh, there's that person there. You know, every Sunday they have to get up and they have to get dressed, and they've got to go and leave their house early and go sit in some boring church building and sing some boring songs and hymns and listen to some boring man get up and open an old boring irrelevant book. That's what they think about you, and they feel sorry for you because of it. Little do they know that you are the one who feels sorry for them. That you feel sorry for those who do not know his love. And you feel sorry for him who have never tasted of his goodness. We feel sorry for them. We feel sorry for the unbeliever. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the backslidden Christian who's such a miserable person. I feel sorry for the half-hearted Christian who never truly knows the joy of yielding their lives to the Lord. There's an unmatched experience, and this really grows out of it. The last thing I want to mention this evening, we have an unmatched happiness. When she gave this description and she said, "The half hasn't been told to me," she came up with this conclusion. As she looked around and saw everyone around her, she said this in verse number 8, "Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." She came up with this great conclusion. The happiest people that she'd ever met in her entire life were the servants of the king. And it's still true today. The Christian who is a servant of Jesus Christ ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And if you are here this evening and you are a miserable Christian, there is something wrong in your life. Now, I understand this to be true, and I've experienced this, and anyone who's been a Christian or an adult for any length of time knows this. We all go through, we have dark seasons that we go through. There are dark seasons of the soul. Spurgeon wrote about it this way. He said, the strong are not always vigorous, the wise not always ready, the brave not always courageous, and the joyous not always happy. We know there are dark seasons, but these ought to be the exception and not the rule. But as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and the closer we get to Him, the happier we will be. Did you notice something in this description that she gives? There's a gradual closeness that is described. First, she says this in verse number 8, happy are thy men. You know, anyone who is one of Solomon's men. And you read about in earlier on of the thousands and thousands of men who were conscripted in the service of Solomon. And they would come for a month at a time, whenever their month was, and they would come and they would spend their month in the service of the king. And she said, those people who got to spend 1 month out of the year in service to the king, they were happy because of it. But then it gets a little bit closer. Happy are thy men. Then this, happy are these thy servants. Do you know who's happier than the men who get to spend 1 month in service to the king? Those who are thy servants, those who get to spend 12 months in service to the king. I don't know exactly how many servants Solomon had. We can imagine it was a lot. And these were the people that perhaps got to see the king every day. And they saw him, or at least once a week perhaps, they got to see the king. And they were the cooks, and they washed the dishes, and they did what we would consider all the very humble work and the very lowly work. But because they were his servants and because they were in the presence of the king, they were happy. They were happier still. But notice it gets a little bit closer. Happy are these thy servants. And then notice this, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. There were a few servants, maybe a butler and a cupbearer and a few that were really, really close, some counselors and advisors and others who got to stand before the king continually. And they were the happiest of all. The closer you get to the Lord, this is why it's so important as a Christian that you yield your life completely and wholly to the Lord, because the closer you get to Him, the happier you will be. And you'll be that way often in spite of earthly troubles. You'll see that to be the case. A great quote on this, Matthew Henry, who was famous for writing a commentary on the whole Bible, he was on his deathbed at the age of 52. And his friend was there with him trying to comfort him. And his friend was a bit of a writer himself. And so he told his friend, you have been used to take notice of the sayings of dying men. So he told him, this is my saying. A life spent in the service of God and communion with Him is the most pleasant life that anyone can live in this world. We have an unmatched happiness. And the more you serve Him, the happier you will be. And perhaps this evening you have been afraid to fully yield yourself in some area or some manner of your life. And what you're doing is you are limiting yourself in your service to your king. You're limiting your time or your strength or your effort of what you ought to give to the Lord. Do you know what you're doing? You're only limiting your own happiness. And you're only limiting your own joy. The more you serve Him, the happier you will be. And as I think about the happiest people I know and I've ever had the privilege of meeting in my life, and I think of those people, I know that they are, without exception, they are people who are always serving the Lord. And I hope this evening, I hope you are happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you may rejoice in the God of your salvation. I hope this evening you can praise God with your heart and with your soul and with your voice for the exceeding great and unmatched and unrivaled salvation that we have to Him. And may God help us while we have life and while we have breath, that we might draw nigh unto Him And we can claim the promise in his word that if we will draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. And may the Lord help us to be close to him, to follow him, and to know the joy that comes from living in his presence. We'll pray together, and I'll turn it over to our brother. He can close the meeting, however you see fit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.